Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. You can follow me on Twitter at golfunfiltered. You can send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. I forgot to add that gmail.com at the end of the last episode, so sorry for that. But I think you know by now how you can get in touch with me, right? We also have an Instagram page, at golfunfiltered. Go check us out on there as well. Jane Geddes is a name that fans of the LPGA and golf in general will know very well. She is an 11-time winner on the LPGA Tour, including two majors, the 86 U.S. Women's Open and the 87 Women's PGA Championship. She has remained in the game for many years, and she is now part of an exciting campaign to not only grow the game, but to get more women involved at the hashtag Invite Her campaign, which is in partnership with the LPGA Women's Network. This is a fantastic conversation, folks. I was extremely excited to speak with Jane. It's not very often, as I joke in the interview that you'll hear, it's not very often that we have a two-time major winner on the show. In fact, she's really the only one that's been on this show. But we have a lot of important things that we need to discuss that, you know, and Jane and I get into it. Here's a few statistics that we mentioned a couple in the interview, but a few more for you to just consider. Out of 24 million American golfers, only 24% are women. In 1997, girls only made up about 17% of junior golfers. 29% of non-golfing women reported that they have an interest in playing golf in the immediate future, and that final statistic points us to a fact that, you know what, maybe we're turning the corner a little bit. Maybe we're finally extending that invitation out to the women in our life to bring them to the golf course with us, to teach them the game, to kind of decode all the weird things that there is about the game of golf. And listeners, you know there's a lot of weirdness about this game that we love. Another encouraging statistic is that when I mentioned in 1997, only 17% of junior golfers were female. Today, that number is 33%. Certainly, some of the superstars on today's LPGA Tour have a lot to do with that, and you know the names, of course. And for the first time since, well, forever, actually, out of the 2.6 million people that played golf for the first time in 2017, that's incredible. 2.6 million people played golf for the first time in 2017. 35% of them were women. There's an interesting caveat to that statistic and the others that I mentioned that Jane actually goes into in today's interview. I think you're really going to enjoy this talk. Really enjoyed having Jane Geddes on the show. Before we get into the interview, I want to give a few shout-outs. First, to my friends over at the Hackers Paradise, if you're listening to this on the THP radio app. Also want to say hello to our friends over at budgetgolf.com. Great sales all the time. Go out and check them out. We've got they have a lot of great stuff for you to take a look at, as well as some interesting bag sales for those of you. You know, even at the end of the year, end of the golf season, at least here in the Midwest, it's getting close to that. Who am I kidding? I'm going to play until it's December. I do it every year. I can't kid you guys. You know I'm going to do that. But nevertheless, go out to budgetgolf.com and check out some of the sales that they have going on there. And of course, hello to my friends over at Cleveland and Srixon. You guys are the best. Playing your equipment, helping me lower my scores, and fantastic new clubs. And you could check out all the reviews of the new series on golfandfilter.com. So, without much further ado, you know how this goes, folks. Sit back and relax. We're going to talk to Miss Jane Geddes, 11-time winner on the LPGA Tour, to talk a little bit more about the hashtag Invite Her campaign. Here we go. Welcome back, folks, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am extremely excited to be joined by a 11-time winner on the LPGA Tour, Miss Jane Geddes, to talk a little bit more about an exciting campaign that I know many listeners to this show are going to love. But before I get too ahead of myself, Jane, thanks so much for taking some time today to talk to me.
Oh, thanks, Adam. It's great to be here.
So we were talking just a few minutes ago prior to getting started. It's not very often that we have a two-time major winner on the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and certainly folks and fans of the game will know your name. You started in the LPGA around 1983, is that correct?
I did, yes.
And you were in there about 20 years. 11 wins in that span, including the 86 U.S. Women's Open and 87 Women's PGA Championship. Certainly, you've got some fond memories thinking back of those times.
I do. I do. It's, you know, it seems like a lifetime ago on one hand, and then on the other hand, it was, you know, it's such an important and kind of pivotal, obviously, time in my life. I've been, you know, so fortunate to be around this game for such a long time, and you know, now it's kind of sitting on the other side of it. But certainly when I look back at my time on tour, I did play, I played for just about exactly 20 years. And, you know, I tell anyone that asks that, you know, it is 100% the greatest job in the world. You know, I traveled around the world and got paid for it to play golf on some of the greatest courses, you know, around the world. So it's sort of, you know, a dream come true, really. I was fortunate to feel like I had a very successful career and was able to retire and kind of move on and put that behind me. But, you know, I'm always going to be a U.S. Open winner, which, and an LPGA championship winner, which is really cool. And, you know, something I'm obviously very proud of, but, you know, it's kind of, like I said, seems like a long time ago, but certainly a huge part of my life still.
And certainly achieving that level of success on the professional level doesn't happen overnight. And you've stayed in the game even post-retirement. And the connection there is you are now working with the LPGA Women's Network. You're working on an exciting campaign. But before we get there, you know, you started off at some point just learning the game years ago.
Yes,
and getting into the game. Describe how you got started. Was that an easy transition or to learn this game that, you know, maybe you didn't know anything about at the time?
So I had kind of an interesting sort of entree into the game because my family did not play at all. I grew up on Long Island and not a country club kid by any stretch of the imagination. My family didn't play. And when I was a sophomore in high school, my father got transferred for his work to South Carolina. So it was a bit of a culture shock, as you can imagine, especially back in the 70s. And, so I was, you know, in high school and had this very thick New York accent and moved down to South Carolina to a small town. And, it was not a happy time for me. So my mom, in all of her desperation to try to get me to, like something about that time, asked me randomly if I wanted to take golf lessons. And I was very athletic. I played all kinds of sports throughout school and outside school, but never played any individual sports. I played all team sports. And so at that time, I lived just outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And at that time, Beth Daniel had just won her second U.S. amateur. And she was very popular in that, in the town. And my mom happened to read about her in the newspaper and her coach, Derek Hardy. So that was sort of the impetus for her to ask me if I might want to take golf lessons. And my very first reaction was, absolutely not. I hate golf. Like, what? I know nothing about it. No, right? So she didn't listen to me. And as mothers sometimes do, and she called Derek, Derek Hardy, who was the director of golf at the Country Club Charleston then, and set up a lesson for me to go play there. I was not a member, just kind of randomly. I don't know if my mom had ever been to a golf course, quite frankly. I didn't have clubs or anything. So I look back at that time, and when I look at my career and I look at my life and how things all kind of happened, I have a tendency to sort of believe in fate, you know, and that, the fact that my mom kind of, you know, took that, the initiative to do that and bring me there. And, I agreed because my mom went and made this lesson. So I went and agreed and I took my first lesson with Derek and he gave me a 7-iron out of the pro shop. And I took my first lesson and he told my mom, if you bring her back, I will not charge you any money for these lessons. And I was kind of hooked and not necessarily because of that, because I didn't understand the value of that then. But I was athletic enough to realize, I think I might be able to do this. This is interesting. You know, I was able to hit the ball right away. And I learned, I never swung a club in my life. So I learned the very first moment about my swing and about golf from the person that ended up coaching me in my entire career.
Wow.
So something he said about that for your viewers who are avid golfers. When people ask me about, you know, what should they do about their game? And I always say, take a lesson with the fundamentals, because the fact that I didn't have to undo anything, you know, my parents didn't teach me, someone else didn't teach me. There was nothing that Derek had to undo. He literally had to teach me how to put my hands on the club that first day. So I still basically had the same thing, swing thoughts, you know, how many years, 40 years later, that I had with Derek in those first, you know, kind of years that I was learning. So I was lucky, and I you know, went along to college and walked on to a couple schools because I hadn't really been playing golf very long. So it just, one thing led to another. I went to Florida State, and randomly 2 years into there, we won the national championship, and I was on that team, which I don't know how that ever happened, but, you know, it was sort of this, you know, this sort of faith that kept moving me, in the right direction through the game, which is pretty cool.
And, you know, that spark of fate had to start somewhere. And as you explained, it started with that initial invitation from your mother. You were very anxious. You know, you probably, you know, as you even said, you weren't really interested at the beginning, but it started with that invitation. And that kind of leads into, of course, this campaign of hashtag invite her. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what that campaign means?
I think Adam, you said it like perfectly. So, We, all of us that play golf have been invited at some point to play, right? We've all, hey, you need to come join me at my course sometime. Adam, you should come to Tampa and play at my course sometime. You say, great, that'd be great, right?
I'd love to.
That's
yeah.
an invite, right? Now, the difference is exactly what my mom did, was my mom made the lesson, and she took me there. And my invite to you, Adam, is to say, hey, listen, I have a tee time this Saturday at 9:00. Okay. So meet me there. That's the extension of the invite, right? Mm-hmm. So what we are looking for with the Invite Her campaign is that extension and the action behind the invite. Because especially with women and women that are new to the game, the intimidation factor is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that golf, pull up to a golf course, we park our car, and we know exactly what we're supposed to do next, right? We know exactly. People that don't play golf, and especially women who are intimidated enough around the game, with the impression that they're not necessarily welcome or worthy or whatever, just pulling up to a golf course is intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go? What's a bag drop? What's a pro shop? Where's, you know, what's the first tee? What's the driving range? What's the putting range? I mean, think about all the language that we speak. That is a foreign language to a lot of people. And so, so the campaign was initiated. I was asked to be the chair person for the Women's Task Force, what was then Golf 2020, but is now We Are Golf. And that was about a year and a half ago. Steve Mona, the chairman of the World Golf Foundation, oversees that and asked me to be the chairperson. And I gladly agreed. And the one thing I said to Steve was, Steve, I'll do this, but I've been around the industry for a long time, and I'm not going to do this by checking a box.
Mm.
We're not going to check a box. We have to take action. And again, fortunately, I was working for the Executive Women's Golf Association. Executive Women's Golf Association at that time. I had just been hired as CEO, and we were acquired by the LPGA and merged with them. I was in a meeting here at the LPGA, and during that meeting, someone that was working for the that was overseeing the LPGA Women's Network was talking about this new initiative, this Invite Her initiative that they were talking about, and light bulbs just went off. And I called Steve, and I said, after that meeting, I said, Steve, I think I've got our campaign. I think I know what we need to do. That was probably May or June of this year. And kind of went fast forward and got the task force behind it. It made sense. We had previously done a strategic plan. Our focus was on getting women into the game that were what we called fans of the game, women that were close enough to it but weren't in it, that could now receive the invite. And here we are partnering. We are, you know, the Women's Task Force is partnering with the LPGA Women's Network. And I just want to be one clear. You had mentioned that I'm a part of the LPGA Women's Network. I'm actually not. I'm actually the executive director of the LPGA Amateur Golf Association, which is formerly the EWGA. We all sit under the same umbrella, obviously, but we are the amateur arm now for women under the LPGA. But anyway, so we are, you know, so the industry, the women on the task force who really represent a very nice cross-section of the industry are helping and playing a big role, I should say, in this initiative. Kind of, you know, powered right now a little bit by the LPGA Women's Network. So it's exciting. We're getting getting some really nice traction, and we feel like we haven't even gotten started. And I was saying to someone today here that we have received more phone calls, absolutely cold calls from people that saw the announcement of a campaign, and I mean outside the industry, that have called us and said, I want to play a part. I want to do something. What can I do? How can I help?
Wow.
I've never been a part of that in women's golf where, that people outside the industry are asking, how can we do this? Because it feels like the right thing to do. So that's it. That makes it really exciting. It's very energizing for all of us that are involved in it. And by the way, the task force is a purely volunteer task force. So we all have real jobs. You know, playing a role in this campaign and, you know, hopefully making it a really true success where we do get women out there and they stay in the game is a win for all of us on the task force and the industry, quite frankly. So we're very excited about just where we've even started so far.
The passion about the campaign is evident in how you just described everything. And it's so appreciated because certainly, and you know, to speak from a personal level here, you know, I'm married and my wife is a very athletic woman, and she, you know, went full ride and played softball her whole life, volleyball. And she's trying to learn a little bit more about the game herself. And everything that you just described in the analogy or the example about not knowing where to go, not knowing,
right,
you know, of what a bag drop was or anything of that nature, you know, it took her time to really understand what all of this foreign language, as you put it, meant. It's really rings true. And it's certainly stuff that we've talked about with each other. And it's so encouraging that, you know, someone of your stature in the game, especially on the women's side, and others, the task force made up of volunteers, are actually taking the initiative to say, hey, all it takes is just to get an invitation out to someone to make them feel a little bit more comfortable to actually, yes, let's go out and play golf.
It is. It's all we're asking is, you know, we're asking each person to invite a woman in their life that they know, a friend, a relative, a spouse, doesn't matter. Invite them and direct them accordingly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, hey, guess what? I know that there's a clinic at this golf course that's going on Tuesday. Let me make sure you have the right numbers to call to make an appointment for that. Or go to inviteher.com. There's tons of resources on there for women that are both returning to the game or new golfers, all the how-tos and what-tos. Or, you know, if it is a returning golfer or it is someone that plays, you know, extend that invite that's real, you know, that mm-hmm. real invite. And we really think that's, you know, it's at least a step that gets the person there. Right. And that's what we, you know, and that's what we're banking on right now. And then, you know, our next job will be keeping them there. So.
Sure. Absolutely. The whole sustainability element of any effort, you know, that's always the challenge. And you touched
exactly.
a little bit, Jane, on the reception that you received so far, especially from outside the industry, which is extremely encouraging. You know, and I'll be honest, too, you know, as a male that plays the game and certainly aware of all the stigma that is affixed to this game, you know, when I walk up as a single to go play on a weekend, I don't feel that anxiety or that embarrassment
right.
or the uncertainty. And to even be more honest, and I'm sure you've heard this before, when I get paired with a female, and you know, there's that element of, okay, I'm not necessarily sure how to act, you know, and that sounds so
no.
like, what do you mean? But really that thought
yeah.
goes through your head.
Real.
How has the reception? It is real. And how has the reception been from males to this campaign so far?
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, you know, we've gotten really good reception. I think because, you know, let me just go back. This is a really interesting point because when I took over as CEO of the EWGA last year, about a year and a half ago, I'd never really been on the amateur side of golf, right? I've always been on the professional side. Mm-hmm. I played on tour and then I came and worked for the LPGA and I was on the professional side then on the tour side. So I never was around amateur golfers. And first of all, I didn't know about this intimidation factor. I mean, it was pretty easy to figure out once I realized it. But another thing that was really interesting to me was when I started the job, and I would ask people if they played golf, or I'd ask some of our members, you know, when they play or how they play. Every single time I asked a woman if they play golf, they said, yes, but not very well.
Mm.
And it was 100% for a lot of months that I was hearing this qualifier. And trust me, I've played with, I don't know how many thousands of men in pro-ams, right, mm-hmm. over 20 years. And I would venture to say probably 95% of them, if I asked them if they played golf, they would say, yeah, I played golf. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, probably 80% of them played golf really badly, really badly.
Yeah.
So it's interesting just dynamic, right, mm-hmm. of how you know, of how men and women view the game, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if a guy walked up on the tee and you know, he'd be, come on, let's go, you know? And he wouldn't even think twice, even if he stunk, right? But I'm going to tell you, if you were standing on that tee and a woman walked up, that woman that would be okay with that situation just for the mere fact that she wouldn't think that she was worthy would be far more in the majority than not, which, you know, that you know, can we change that? I don't know. Maybe that's just how we are, but certainly getting more women into the game and creating that mass where women have the opportunity to play more golf together that's comfortable. And that's really where the LPGA Amateur Golf Association comes in, because that's what we offer, that opportunity in local markets for women to get together in a comfortable, safe environment, safe in that non-intimidating, to go out and play with their friends. And it's okay if you're stinky. We're all stinky, actually, at times. So that was a little bit of a long answer to your question, but I mean, I think the reception that we've gotten across the board has been amazingly positive. And you know, I think a little bit of it with men is it gives you kind of a great excuse to create that invite.
Sure.
You know, it's like, yeah, I've been wanting to do that, but I didn't quite know what to do. Like, I didn't know, like, what do I do? Where do I tell her to go? You know, well, start with inviteher.com or, you know, take her to the club and show her exactly where the backdrop is and the pro shop and, you know, whatever, like, but at least take some action on the invite. And I think it's not, you know, I don't think it's overwhelming for anyone. And it's not anything that is so out of the norm that someone wouldn't do anyway. Right.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the most rewarding experiences or some of the most rewarding experiences that I have in golf is when my wife and I are able to go out and just by coincidence may get paired with another couple. And, you know, or it's just so nice to kind of see how that dynamic works. And a part of me, and I'm glad you kind of went there, Jane, because part of me is like, well, you know, it doesn't necessarily only have to be in that circumstance. You know, when I go and I look, when I go and look at a course and I see that there's just this big mixture of different people that are waiting to get onto the first tee, I mean, everyone says, let's grow the game. But does everyone actually know what growing the game looks like?
And no, they don't.
I agree with you.
The industry does not.
Yes.
The industry does. I mean, they think they want to know. Everybody wants to know. And everybody thinks that it's about, we got to get millennials in the game. We got to be more diverse. That's that invite.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that says we should play golf sometime. That to me is an empty sort of, this is what we should do kind of moment, right? Mm-hmm. We got to get millennials in the game. Well, let's invite them. You know, let's invite them first, and maybe, you know, and maybe they'll get there, you know. So it's interesting, and I think it's you know, I think the industry is doing better, but it's we're always going to have a hard, we're always going to have a long way to go, right?
Right.
We just are. It's the nature of the game. But I think that the good news is we have a lot of people that are thinking the right way, and getting more seats around the table, to really, you know, to start thinking through how we do it, you know, how we do it better.
Yeah, and a lot of that just starts with the invitation, like you're saying, and the exposure to the game and actually getting people at the table, as you put it. And, you know, some of the statistics, listeners, that, you know, you may or may not know, but out of the 24 million American golfers, only 24% are women. But to Jane, to your point, you said that maybe we're turning the corner a little bit. We need to go a little bit faster, but we're turning it, because in 2.6 million people that played golf for the first time in 2017, which is more than any year in history, by the way, listeners, 35% were women. That's encouraging in my mind.
You know why? You know why that number's skewing now? I think, my opinion, and I think the numbers might show this, but for the first time, whether it's this year or last year or the year before, those that played at Topgolf and at virtual golf are counted as golfers. Because guess what? They are. Because they believe they're golfers, right? And so Topgolf has an amazing – I think it's in the 30% of the people that play at Topgolf are women. And that says something, right? That tells me that, guess what? It's not the women don't want to, but they have found an environment at Topgolf that is accessible and that's fun and doesn't matter what they wear and doesn't matter if they're good and it doesn't, you know, and there, it's almost that non-judgmental environment that Topgolf has created, and that virtual golf is trying to, you know, create the same. And it's you know, and I think all of that is going to make a difference in the long run, at least introducing someone to the game, because when you talk to people that go to Topgolf, whether it's even on a regular basis or not, and you ask them if they're golfers, oh heck yeah, they're golfers. You know. And that, and the industry, you know, in the past had said they really weren't. So I think that, alone is an important step, and one that I truly agree with, because I think the Topgolf concept and what they've done around that, and other, I'm sure others will follow, is just an extension of the game. And, you know, and I think it's a fun way to, you know, to swing a golf club. What the heck?
Yeah.
Right?
Why not? So, you get, maybe you get to have some food and a couple drinks along the way, too. There's there's nothing wrong with
exactly.
that. And that's a very important
entertainment.
It is. And that's a very important point you bring up, Jane, about just kind of expanding that definition of what it means to go and play golf. You can be playing golf if you go to a driving range. You can go play golf if you go to a putting green. And it's really this those first steps, just like you experienced growing up, going through the lessons at first to kind of learn the ropes first. You know, you're still a golfer. You know, Jane, really appreciate the time you're spending with me tonight. I'm sure we could talk a ton more about this, and maybe we will in the future. What and how can people get involved in this campaign? What do we need to do? Listeners to this right now today.
It's really simple. It really is simple. First of all, it is inviting a woman in your life to play the game in some capacity, and directing them and helping them get the information or taking them to a facility or whatever that next action step needs to be to get them there. Like I said, if inviteher.com is a great resource for women or men that are interested in, you know, the game, and there's tons of resources on there. For women, sort of all the to-dos and don't-dos, and you know, and kind, you know, kind of learning the language and where do you go and what do, and where are there opportunities to play? So that alone is a great resource to be able to direct women to, and then just taking action on it. I mean, you're doing it with, you know, with your wife. My mom did it with me. I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned it, you know, from off the top, you mm-hmm. know, instead of me, my mom saying, hey, you should take lessons. And she called Derek and made the lesson and brought me there. That's the invite her campaign, you know, period, mm-hmm. end of the story. So it's really very simple. It's just, we're asking everyone to invite one woman. And if we do, and we get a nice majority of people that are doing that, we're taking steps forward and people will start noticing, you know, and, mm-hmm. and when we have people outside the industry calling us and saying, wow, that's a really cool concept. We talked with a group today from one of the NCAA conferences mm-hmm. that called us, say, I think it was Pac-12 or Pac-10, and saw it. And it was two guys that were in the marketing, social media area, and they were like, we want to help. We want to do something with Pac-12. We want to do, you know, next year. And we were like, okay, great. I mean, that's cool. That's mm-hmm. you know, that's another thing that people can do is if you don't have that opportunity to invite someone, but you have access to resources or you want to spread the word or whatever, you know, hashtag invite her is it. And we're doing, you know, we're fairly active on social media, and it's just getting the word out there and having people look at it and say, what is that? You know, and mm-hmm. and hopefully playing a part in it.
You know, Jane, this is exactly what's needed in the game. I know you know that, and listeners, I hope you realize that, because when we talk about growing the game, as Jane and I talked about earlier, this is what we mean by that. We need more folks to go out there and just extend that invitation to everybody and get everyone involved. Jane, really enjoyed our talk today, and I do mean it. I hope we can do it again in the future.
Awesome. I'd love to. Thank you very much, Sam.